Grant, Lord, that we who are gathered here this night may understand more of how thou art dealing with men, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to turn with you to Galatians chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Paul is speaking and says, "And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." So, to reveal his son in me. Now, that Paul was a persecutor of Christians, you would have to feel very, very much an understatement. You see, persecute in the Bible means to constantly harass and chase someone. And it has the idea of a pack of vicious dogs after somebody and not going to leave them alone. Something like the dogs that exist in the bush in Africa, which will pursue a deer or something like that and go on and on and on till they finally pull it down. And that is what it is. So the word is common in Scripture. What lies behind it is what interests us today. Because if you're a real Christian, you were promised persecution, and you will have had some by now if you really walked with the Lord. And what lies behind these people? But because we're to pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us, and we need to think what lies in them that makes them do it. Well, in the Bible, what they're out to do is to waste the church of God. And that means, like God poured brimstone from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah, so they're doing the same thing to the church of God. So it's the same idea as Nebuchadnezzar in Jerusalem or Titus. Even the Romans admitted that Titus went too far in his persecution of the Jews in AD 70 and the eruption of Vesuvius was a direct consequence from God of what they had done. Now, what made these men go to such enormous lengths to burn and harass and waste? And what moves persecutors the world wide? Well, you look at verse 23. "But they heard only," says Paul, "that he which persecuted us in time past now preaches the faith that he once destroyed, and they glorified God in me." What I want to ask is this: why did Paul persecute the church? Well, he was born in Tarsus, far from this, and he was born of pure Jewish stock, and he was one who liked for race reasons. Now, the bottom reason people persecute you is race. You will find that is still true, that there is race at the bottom of it. People feel their race and their religion is better than we, and therefore they persecute. That is the very first thing. And you will find, whether it was Goebbels and the Jews in the 1930s, or whether it is us today, they paint us, there they painted the Jews as anti-German and against all that Germany stood for, as the capitalists who were ruining the world and who were doing the most terrible things, and now they paint us as terrible. So you will find that you personally are regarded as someone dreadful by those who are at this. So that was what lay behind Paul. You will find in one place in the Bible another reason than race lay behind it. You will find that the nobler sort persecuted the Christians. And you will find those who regard themselves as well up in society are foremost. So James speaks of rich men who do various things to the Jewish believers in the Epistle of James. Well, now, there's a hatred of Christ at the bottom of it. But you will find the rich drag you before the judgment seats, and the rich and the powerful are the ones who really hate you. They feel that they have something by birth, and that we are upstarts from nowhere and threatening their way of life. And so they're mightily against us. You will find when the British Parliament debated under the lead of those who were in the anti-slavery movement, the issues of slavery, the people who took the side of the slaves were the poorer people. And the people who wanted to keep on the slavery were the rich. You will find that is so if you read the account. And the powerful, and they, led by Fox and others, they certainly tried to do so. Now, another reason why they persecuted Paul was Saul or Paul had been brought up in the traditions of Judaism. I'm not going into the whole traditions of Judaism, it's impossible. But they rested on the law, so that they could not understand justification by faith. And you will find, I think it was Martin Lloyd-Jones who said it, that if you really preach justification by faith, then you will be regarded as a wicked person. And if you are not regarded like that, then they have not understood what you are preaching about. Because justification by faith involves this, that we do nothing, God does everything. And that is interpreted by people in the world to mean we are against morality and are the cause of all the evil in the land. That's what they accuse Paul of. Let us do evil that good may come. You see, they say the more evil we do, well, the more we're forgiven, the more God is glorified. Paul said, whose damnation is just. The truth is that once we really preach it and are understood to preach it, then we are put down as very bad people, and people who are encouraging lawlessness, wickedness, law breaking of every sort, and who are undermining morality. Now that is another reason why they did it. Now, it all rested on pride. Paul was a very proud man. He had every reason to be. His father must have been quite a great one in Tarsus. For a start, he must have purchased Roman citizenship. And to do that, you had to give a great sum of money. It was a big sum. It wasn't just something small. The Romans understood the value of their citizenship. And if you bought it, you bought it very, very expensive. Now, he said, but I was born free. Because his father, having purchased it, he would be free in it. So Paul regarded himself as a Roman. And a noble Roman, that one who was a free man, and that was something to be sought. But much more than that lay behind it. Paul had been brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, and he had learned all about the Jews. He must have been sent there by his father. His father must have wanted him to be a rabbi and sent him to Jerusalem, where his sister lived, to learn to be a rabbi. And he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and the reason he persecuted was because he felt that the Jews were superior to every other race, that they had a superiority over all other races which they had to maintain. And that superiority was based on religion, and their religion was higher than those. I have heard, I've actually heard it myself, English people who said, "We're Christians, not like those black people." And that was quite a definite attitude among English people. And you will find that there is a race element in it. You will find that there is an element of superiority and pride behind it. That is why the great and the good persecute, whereas those who have very little belief or are bad don't persecute us on the whole. There it is. So then, there was Paul, the Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee, devoted to his religion, devoted to his traditions, hating all this that was being done by the Christians, which was tearing the Jews apart. And what he wanted before everything else was that the Christians become obedient to the law. That's why he did it. But the most moral persecutors, and you will have to realize that, it isn't the wicked who persecute us, but those who have very high spiritual and moral ideals persecute, and persecute terribly. Now, you see, he could say later, "Brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." He did it from a good conscience. And you will find the people who persecute us most do it from a good conscience. They genuinely feel that we are against equality in this country. They genuinely feel that we are not giving a fair say to those who are born in some state whereby they cannot help it, and that we are not fair to them. So they feel that they are morally superior to us, and for that reason we need suppressing and getting rid of. And that is why they do it. Furthermore, he was among the most learned and most intellectual young Jews of his day. He had learned, he had been through their university system, and he said he was the equal of many of the very top of them. He knew very well his position, and he could argue it. And he felt that he knew God's will. He knew the history of the Jews. He understood very well what it was all about. And he felt that the Christians were ignorant fanatics, from the poorest of the people, and people who should not have been allowed to break up Judaism. Now, you will find something more in a persecutor. Often persecutors are people who feel things deeply and who have very, very strong views. You read Paul's letters, he could cry over people. You look at his letters and you'll find that he was strong in friendship, and that he made appeals to people on the grounds of friendship and on the grounds of love and kindness to them. Now, when he was converted, he says, "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things." There came an utter break in Paul's life when he was converted. He lost, we think, his wife, his mother, his brethren, his father, his friends, the other rabbis, the whole Jewish race. They still regard him as a traitor. So then, all those things, and we are regularly accused of being traitors to various countries. The Indians have a movement at the moment which they wish to move back to all things Hindu. And you can see them, Jivaji, their great hero, on his horse in concrete, standing at every roundabout. You can see this figure on his horse waving his sword, and it's a sign of Hindu resurgence. Therefore, they are against, very much against, the Indian Christians and persecute them. And you will find it so everywhere. Now, again, there was something deeper to it. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Paul persecuted Jesus personally. And why did he persecute Jesus? Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and him only shalt thou worship. Jesus claimed to be God. And because he claimed to be God, the Jews wished to stone him. And they hated him for it, and held it to be a terrible thing, and part of witchcraft he was practicing. So then, Saul hated Jesus personally. And there is something about you, you cannot hide it. Out from even the weakest Christian shines Christ. And that figure is hated by the world, and especially by the most religious and the greatest and the best in the world. Now, what had he learned of the law? Well, he learned that the great gift to the Jews was the law, the oracles of God. He knew that God sent prophets to enforce the law. He held Moses to be the very summit and height of all that a human being could ever be. Moses was his great, not just hero, but the one whom God had chosen to give his people the law. So that when the Jews in Paul's training sat down to discuss a matter as up-and-coming rabbis, they said, "What saith the scriptures?" And you will find that Paul had a remarkable knowledge of the scriptures. He shows it in his writings. He was very, very plain about this, that he knew the scriptures. And I'll tell you something. Those who really know the scriptures, in the end, are the worst persecutors of the church, worse than all the others. You will find people who have been Christians, like the Emperor Julian, called the apostate. He was a great persecutor of Christians, and the reason was he had been taught the Christian faith and he understood it accurately. You'll find one of the worst persecutors of Christians there's ever been in Britain was a man called Archbishop Laud. He drove 22,000 people out of England in the space of a few years, who would rather face the dark primeval forest of North America and the savage Indians than they would than stay under Lord. And they fled. They fled in great numbers in leaky old boats that had to cross the whole Atlantic. And when they get there, the boat had to go home and they had to just settle on the shore and live in this hostile environment, in the most inclement weather. That is where persecution really comes from. Laud was a lover of the arts, a collector of paintings, a man who knew his Bible well and could argue. And you will find that with the reformers, You will find again that the people who really opposed them were men like the Bishop of Winchester, who personally hated Cranmer and personally opposed him. And you'll find that they knew the Bible and could argue from the Bible. And one of the remarkable things about the Reformation is people like the blind woman in Nottingham, who had no education, could out-argue Wolsey, who had a very good mind, until he had to send her away as having no arguments to give to her. The Holy Spirit within us is more powerful than all their brains, and they don't like it. And therefore, I say to you again, that Christ shining through you, and all these other reasons, are behind the fact you get persecuted. And you will get persecuted if you walk with him. Because he said that we would be given heaven and persecutions. And that is our Lord Jesus' comment on it. Now, furthermore than this, he had another mark of the worst persecutors, and that is this: he had a wide knowledge of the world. You see, in the markets in Tarsus were piled the black goat skin and the goat's hair and the garments and the tents and everything they made out of it, and moving in that were buyers from all over the world, because it was world famous for these things. And Paul was there as a lad among them, and he would have known them. And you'll find he was streetwise, Paul. He could look after himself. He knew what was coming round the corner. He could read a man deeper than his face. Paul was a very skilled man in just worldly wisdom. And you'll find that that is something about the worst persecutors. They understand you, and they can read you easily, and they read you as weak and liable to be pushed from your position if argued with. And they read you as not their intellectual equal, and they very quickly get reading you right deep down. They're very good at it. If you read the communist persecutors of the early Chinese Christians in the last century, you will find that they read them very accurately indeed. And they can read us like an open book, because they're worldly wise. You see, far more than that, Paul knew Greek culture, Greek religion and Greek philosophy. He knew a lot about the Greek language, and at the same time he knew all those things about the Jews. So he spanned the world. He was a widely thought man, a man who had a great area of knowledge. And this man set out to hound the Christian church into oblivion, to such a state that even his own people stared at him. He seemed to have a fixed, venomous hatred of Christians, something not explainable very easily to a third party. Why was it he did this hatred of Christians? I was hearing of someone recently who heard of a group who hate us personally, us as a little group of the Church of England continuing, and they said they couldn't understand why people hated us so much and seemed so much against us. Well, I can't explain it all to you, but I know this, that all these reasons come into it. And then again, Paul knew more than that. He could master languages. He could get hold of the way people were thinking. Some people are very clever at language and can just pick it up like a sponge absorbs water. Others like me, I struggled for years with Arabic. Oh, I did struggle. I can tell you, I wept tears over it. And the whole thing is very difficult to most of us. But Paul wasn't like like that, and you'll find many Jews are extremely good linguists. So Paul could quickly get into the thought of a marketplace in Athens or wherever he went. He could very quickly understand what they were at and read the inscriptions on their statues and on their altars. He got around, Paul, and he knew what he was doing. And then Paul had another thing. He was worldly wise enough to be able to side with the right side. You look at the cities he went to as a missionary, and you will find he avoided certain and went to certain. Why did he choose those cities? Well, at bottom, the Holy Spirit guided him to go there and told him not to go to the others, and he obeyed. But in Paul there lay a piece of knowledge which made him act. You will find every city he went to had a Roman magistrate who could be appealed to. At that stage the Romans weren't against the Christians. And he could appeal to the magistrate when the Jews, who at that stage were the main persecutors, came after him. So that he always went where there was a Roman magistrate. And you'll find that is the thing in common between the cities he went to all over the Roman Empire. That he had Roman law he could appeal to. Now, Paul was streetwise. Paul could read other cultures and fit in with them and dress like them and not offend them and use their names. His very name and the word Paul shows he could. And he knew how to avoid all unnecessary offence. Just keeping to the offence of the gospel. That is something you and I find very much more difficult. We're very much more wooden in our ways and less able to do it. And then there was another thing about Paul which made him a great persecutor and yet helped him greatly later. He had a trade. He'd been taught the trade. You know, the rabbis said that you might as well teach your son to be a thief as not teach him a trade. And he had a proper trade he'd been taught. It was with goat skins and goat hair. He knew how to work them into cloth, and he knew how to make tents out of them, or workmen's garments, or whatever he wished. He was skilled at that, and that got him through. Now, because he was in trade, he could quickly get in with the traders. And one group who always persecuted us are those who were against us. If you read the life of Savonarola, the monk who was burned to death by the Roman Catholic Church, you will find that Savonarola had personally denounced the Pope, who only lived a little way away, and that Savonarola had done more than that. He had undermined the papal trade carried on with his city and taught the people against it. And that really roused the papacy. More than all his talking against religion, he interfered with their trade. And you'll find one of the things held against us is that we interfere with trade. If I ruled this country, the drink trade, I would do something about all I ever could. If I ruled this country, the arms trade it carries on, I would do something about all I could. Now, the reason we do those things is for Christ's sake. And we want the spears and the swords to be beaten into reaping hooks and plowshares. And we want the whole thing changed. We are not in favour of what they're doing, and they know it. So then, for all those reasons, Paul was a persecutor. And he was a persecutor of the worst sort. Now, there was something more to Paul's persecution. You remember he was at Stephen's speech. Well, Paul loved the temple, And Stephen said that God was worshipped in temples not made with hands. And that was something he learned. And Paul infinitely was proud of his connections with the old fathers of Judaism. And he could not accept that Jesus was Christ the Messiah. He just could not accept it. It was something that stuck in his craw, and he would not have it made through. So what he longed for was Messiah to come. Now, do you know why there are Jews in this country? We turned out the Jews in 1290 and sent them packing from England, all of them. We persecuted the Jews, and the word Holocaust comes from the town of York, where we specially persecuted the Jews and specially burned them in their castle to death, the ones who went in. We went for them. A canon of the church stood looking at the castle and shouting to the people to come and kill the ones who crucified the Lord Jesus. It was all the world crucified Christ, not just the Jews, and we specially did it. And they weren't allowed back in this country. And the only country in Europe which had no Jews at all for many years was this country. And the reason we persecuted then the Jews was this hatred of them, which had been taught from the pulpits of this land. Now, when Oliver Cromwell reigned, Oliver Cromwell wanted them back again. They were being horribly persecuted in Spain, and the Dutch had received them back. And the Dutch, because they had the Jews, had the whole West Indian trade in their hands. They had all the sugar and all the other things, and they had a lot of money coming in, which financed their war effort. And Cromwell wished to fight them. And he saw the way was to get hold of the Jews. And therefore, both for reasons of state, but also because he was a Christian, Cromwell wanted the Jews back here. And he had great meetings about it. And there was a debate throughout the country in which people said the most foolish things. Things like that the Jews had bought St. Paul's Cathedral so they could turn it into a mosque. And all sorts of other nonsense was talked about them. Things like that they were poisoning the citizens of London because some Jewish refugees had got in. And the oldest synagogue in Britain, you will find, is the Spanish and Portuguese synagogue. Now, when they came back in, it was under Cromwell's personal protection, and that is why they settled next to his house where he lived, because they needed his protection to stay here. And you will find afterwards that the reason they weren't turned out when the king came back was simply because Cromwell had failed to get Parliament to agree to have them back. So they were back unofficially, so they didn't have to be turned out. And you will find that the Jews came back here from Holland, and they came back here in Cromwell's time. Now, that is a simple fact, but you can see how persecution goes. Persecution goes that people hate anything to do with God and Christ. The Jews are persecuted for that, and we are persecuted for it. And they do it with an excellent conscience. Now, what really changed this? Well, time has gone on us, and we must leave it to another time. But there was something behind all this persecutor that changed him. And when we get to that, you'll see it took the mighty power of God, a power more miraculous than to raise the dead, or to heal the sick, or make the blind to see, or lepers to be cleansed. A mighty power of God was at work. And the reason we are so keen on the gospel and not on miracles is that it is this power of God which we wish to work in our land, not just supporting our bodies till we die. I am most grateful for Christian people for praying for me and for bringing me back again. But it's not those things we long for. It is for an inward and spiritual change, which is life from the dead. Amen.